If you would, turn over in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to read verses 10 through 14. Now, if you're thinking, because I said Ephesians 1 and verse 10, that I just jumped over all that predestination and God choosing us before the foundation of the world, well, we might go back to that. But Ephesians 1, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, my introduction is going to be a little different this week because it actually involves an English lesson. The one reason why I came to this was what I'm titling this is In Whom? In Him. Because there's a rule about using the words who and him. Who and whom. And Earl had a tendency to remind me of this. And whenever I read In Whom, I do think of Earl Cochran. But I do remember it from an English teacher some years ago, way too many years ago. And Earl just reminded me of it from time to time. Because the way you select whether you use the word who or whom has to do with the subject, the object, and what word you're going to use. Now, if the answer to the question or the subject is he or she or they, you use the word who. Like, who is going? Well, the answer is he is going, or she is going, or they are going. You use the word who there. Now, if the answer is him, her, or them, you use the word whom. So of whom is Paul writing? Paul is writing of him. So whenever Paul writes of whom or in whom, he's saying in him. And I like that relationship a lot. Because in him is in Christ. And that's what this means. The subject, the answer, the object is in him. It's in Christ. Now, verse 10 here starts off with the word that. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which on earth, even in him. Now this word that is lets us know he is summing up, or this is the result of what has gone before, which is the first 9 verses of Ephesians. This is the purpose to which those 9 verses were leading. Now, I was reading in a book the other day, and the one man wrote of this verse, he said this, and I quote, we have in this verse the key to the understanding of the chief practical purpose of this epistle to the Ephesians. And I can't really say that he's wrong, because this is written after all spiritual blessings in Christ. This is written after chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. This is written after we should be holy and without blame, having predestinated us to the placement of sons. I do like that, Walter. The adoption of sons. Our place. By Jesus Christ. According to his will, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness of sins, made known the mystery of his will, as he purposed according to his good pleasure. Then he says this word, that. After all that, when it pleases God, he will gather together in one all things in Christ. And I read that, and I thought, man, I should have mentioned this last week when I was talking about one. God's plan is absolutely certain.
Yes.
I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen this week. I don't know what's going to happen next year, although I still do predict unrest in the Middle East. Sorry, I can't get away from that. Give me something hard to do, right? But I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this. God is going to gather all things together in one.
Yeah.
In Christ. That's certain. That's certain. Now, this is not teaching universalism, as some say. He's going to gather everything that pertaineth to him. Because it's in Christ. Now, the gathering is in one. Everything that belongs to Christ is going to be gathered in one. And I said it last week, in one unity. Now this fellow pointed out, and I looked at the Greek, and he was right, that word where it says he might gather together in one, well, gather together in one is all big, one big Greek verb. One big Greek word. And at the very beginning of that word is the word anna, A-N-A. Now, it doesn't say it here, but it does say it in some other translations, and I'm not throwing off on the King James, but sometimes you miss some stuff. But this is gather together. That word anna means again. He is going to reunite all things together in one. Because before the beginning of the world, before everything, there was unity.
Yes. Yes.
Perfect unity between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And we were there.
We were there.
In Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, can you see a little bit of what this guy was saying? This is where this epistle may ride.
Mm-hmm.
It sits here. This is what all Paul is going to be talking about. And he goes after this into one body, one faith, one life. Because God is going to reunite all that pertaineth to Christ in one, and do that in Christ. Man, we got something to look forward to if you believe Christ. We've got something to look forward to now. I don't know what unity really is. Not here. I mean, we do the best we can with what we got. My wife and I agree on most things. That's about as close as I can get. I mean, that's it. I'm not even going to bring up work. And I'm not even going to talk about unbelievers, because he's not talking to unbelievers, and he's not talking about unbelievers. It's in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you're not going to be gathered together in one.
Right.
There are those saying, oh, he's going to gather. Well, no, I believe he is going to gather everything that he wants. I have a saying that I use when I tell people at work or other places, I'm going home. Or I want to go home. When I was in Florida, I wanted to come home. And then people, every now and then, somebody will look at you trying to be funny and you know, just kind of joking or whatever. And they say, well, why? Why would you want to go home? And I look at them, I tell them, well, all my stuff is there. That's right. My wife's there. My dog's there. My two cats are there. And all my stuff is there. That's what Christ is going to do. He's going to gather all his stuff together in one. And that is heaven, earth, all. This earth is going to pass. It's going to pass. It's going to pass. In a fervent heat. And the heavens too. And one day there is going to be, it's written down, I'd say mark it down, but it's written down here. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And I think that's what Paul's referring to here. And there is going to be, not should be, not might be, not could be, there is going to be unity there as there was in the beginning. And guess what? From the beginning, he declared this. He's declared the end from the beginning. And this is part of the end. Unity in Christ Jesus. I like that. I like that. Now, I do know this one thing I wanted to bring up because of the word being used, dispensation. That word has been misused and misapplied and extrapolated to death. You know, they say there are seven major dispensations. They have the dispensation of this and that and the law and the, now we're in the dispensation of grace. And see, people were saved different ways in those dispensations. That's a lie. There's only one salvation. There's only one way. The way. And if Christ didn't save you in the Old Testament, you weren't saved. That's it. You're either looking forward to him, or now we're looking back that he came and that he is. There's only one way of salvation. This word dispensation translates administration. The administration of the fullness of times. Guess what? If it's an administration, somewhere, some place, there's usually an administrator. And it ain't you. And it ain't me. And it ain't anybody on this planet. That's what we call an implication. There is an administrator who handles the administration of the fullness of times. His name is God. In the fullness of time, he sent his son. Made under a woman, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law. Who is this administrator? He is. He that is done, has done, is doing, and shall do all of his good pleasure. He that worketh all things according to the counsel of his own will. That's the next verse. That's the administrator of this administration of the fullness of times. It's going to happen when God says it's going to happen. And it's not going to happen before then. And it's not going to happen after then. That's what the fullness of time means. That word has implications mean like the ship hold. The hold of a ship full of grain to where you can't put no more in. when that fullness of time is, this gathering's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's all we're waiting for, is His time. Like I said, I don't know what's going to happen. Peace may break out next week, Mason. I don't expect it. But it could happen. I'm not in charge of this plan. I'm not in charge of this purpose. All I know is right now, and that's only what I will allow myself to watch at CNN or BBC or something like that. But I do know when the fullness of time comes, the administrator of those fullness of times is going to make this gathering happen. His timing is perfect in everything that He does. There is a time for every purpose under the heaven. And this is a purpose of God as revealed to us by the Apostle Paul. Unity is coming. And it's going to be a unity of the faith. And it's going to be a unity of Christ. It's not going to be anywhere else. There is no unity outside of Christ. I said it last week. I'll say it again. I'll say it next week. There's only unity in Christ. In Him. God administrates, God dispenses in time, the fullness of time. Christ lived, Christ worked, Christ walked, Christ preached, and Christ taught in the fullness of His time. And Christ died in the fullness of time. According to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. They took Him by wicked hands. I heard Earl say it. I was listening to a tape on the way up here. They took Him, and their hands were wicked. And they are guilty. And we are guilty. Because it wasn't only the Jews that did it. It was the Gentiles. And that's us. And He died for us. We're guilty of so many things. Don't forget this one. The perfect, holy Son of God gave Himself in a substitutionary sacrifice. Why? That He might gather together in one. We're guilty, but we're forgiven. In Him. In whom? In Him. Everything that is to be gathered together is going to be gathered together in one, in Christ Jesus. On an altar, I looked at that and it says, in heaven and in earth. Both things that are in heaven, both things that are in earth. That's pretty much everything. That's pretty much everything. What's here and what's above. It's going to be gathered together in one. That excites me. That makes me happy. It does. Why are these to be gathered together? A, it was purposed, and B, it's His plan. And C, you ain't got nothing to say about it. Just be happy. Just be happy. Be blessed. Because you are blessed if you are in Christ. To be gathered in one. Christ will gather together all of His own. Not one's going to be left out. Not one's going to be extra. But not one's going to be left out. And then all I can say is, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. That's it. In Him. Just in case you weren't sure who's doing this, He's doing it in one, in Christ, in Him. That sounds secure to me. That sounds certain to me. Well, it's because it is. God said it. He's going to do it. He has declared this end from the beginning. And His word, His voice, what He says will never return unto Him void. It shall accomplish that to which I sent it. And it's going to. It's going to. And I think we can rejoice in that. This is part of the promises of God that are in Christ, whom we are in. We're in Him. And I said whom? Whom we are in. In Him, in Christ, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. I think that's just what He said. In Christ Jesus. All of this is in Him. And has been promised to His people. Jew or Gentile, bond or free, rich or poor, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're going to be gathered together in one.
Yeah.
In Christ. I think that's worth saying something over. I think that's worth rejoicing. It makes me happy. Because I see this world. I see this world. I may not be of it, but I'm in it. And I know you are too. But there's a better world coming. And we have been promised by the Father, in the Son, and through the Holy Spirit, that we shall be gathered together in one. And we are going to experience the unity that was before.
Right.
That unity that we didn't know anything about, but we were made a part of in His purpose and His plan in His Son.
Yeah.
And that Christ purchased with His own blood. We're going to experience this reuniting, this gathering together again in one. And I don't know what it's going to be like, Mason, but I think I'm going to be rather happy with it. I think I'm going to be pleased. I know I'm going to be blessed, even more than I'm blessed now, because there is a fulfillment of the redemption. To wit, what? The redemption of the body. That's part of it. But also, this gathering together again in one, in Christ, even in Him. I'm waiting for it. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this time, this place. Lord, You have given us all things. You have given us life and light and love, and educated our ignorance. Give us understanding in our hearts of Your will and Your way in this world and in the world to come a bit. Thank You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.